Very thankful to be here. I've greatly enjoyed the preaching, enjoyed seeing all of you, being in the house of God. I know that when lunchtime comes, and I hope they can get it ready pretty quick, you ought again to say we'd have been better off, Brother Sonny, stayed in Mississippi, but it is what it is. The Lord will bless. We'll try to talk to you for a few minutes. Now, some of these young brethren have much more agile minds than I do, and I can't switch subjects very quick. So I'm just going to hook on to some things Brother James has talked about and try to, and I please don't think I'm correcting anything. I didn't hear anything needs any fixing.
Amen.
I'm not above trying to fix things, but just didn't hear anything needs fixing. Blessed is the man. Now, when I can feel myself embraced in that and feel like I am one who is blessed of God, it's a great feeling. It's a great mercy of God to allow me to feel that.
Right, that's right.
Just that feeling is a blessing. To understand that I've been blessed is a blessing.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we talk about God being blessed or blessed, that's not the same as God blessing us. That's when we praise and adore and acknowledge God for those things God has done for us.
Amen.
That's when we acknowledge that He is the source of all our blessings.
That's right. Right.
Blessed be the God and Father. Do you have any reason this morning to bless God? Brother James has given us reasons we ought to praise God.
Yeah.
I hope this morning that you came because you wanted to come.
Yeah.
I know the members of Bethel Church have an obligation to be here. I understand that. But if you only came because you're obligated, you really aren't getting much, I suspect. And you aren't giving much. If you came because the impression of your heart was a great desire to be with God in His house this morning, you're giving something.
Amen.
And I believe God will give you something. God will bless you with His presence, with His Spirit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I like to know where my resources are. I like to know where my money is. I'm careless with a lot of things, but I try to keep up with my money. It's really not much of a job, but I like to know where it is. I like to know where my clothes are. I like to know where my car keys are. When I get away from home, I want to know where my car keys are. I keep up with them. If I fly, on a long trip, gone for a week. I'll have my car keys in my pocket the whole time, so when I get back to the airport at home, I'll know where they are. I don't lose my keys. Don't leave him lying about it. All right? We have blessings that are in Christ. Do you know where they are? Do you understand that those blessings have been given you by God in Christ? You don't have these blessings that flow around Him. You don't have blessings that bypass Him. You have blessings that were given you in Christ. They come to you through Christ. Christ is the source of those for you. So if you want to enjoy those blessings, it's a good idea to go to the bank where the blessings are.
Amen.
Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah.
It's going to be meal time here in a few minutes. And everybody in this building, I suppose, will drift that direction. You won't go that direction to the cemetery. You'll go to the kitchen. Why? You know that's where the food is. Does it make sense to go to the places of this world where Christ is not, looking for the blessings of God? You're not going to find them out in the world. You're not going to find them walking away from God. You will find those blessings as you walk toward God.
Amen.
There are blessings that we have that flow to us unconditionally. There are many great and wonderful blessings that flow to us without our seeking them. That's a good thing, because until God blesses us with spiritual life, we do not seek Him.
Amen.
But once He has blessed us with life, once He has blessed us with understanding, once He has blessed us to taste something of His goodness, it only makes sense that we follow in the steps of the flock.
Amen.
The flock of God who has tasted His goodness for centuries.
Yes.
Amen.
I like to walk where folks are being blessed. Makes sense to me. I want to go away from blessings. I won't come to blessings. Psalm 122, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why? He had been to the house of the Lord before. There were blessings there.
Amen.
Why did I want to come to Bethel this weekend? I've been here before. There were blessings here when I was here before. I wanted to come back to a place where the Lord blesses.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to confess something for Brother Sonny. You know, he and I traveled together for a long time. We've been really close in the past. He's kindly dropped me in recent years. But we've been really close. We're good friends. I've told him things I never told very many other folks. Some things I don't know that I ever told anybody else, and I'm pretty sure he's confessed things to me he hadn't told very many folks. So we're close. But I can tell you, Brother Sonny goes somewhere and doesn't have liberty, it's really hard to get him to go back there. All right? And Brother Sonny and Brother James share that feeling. There are places I've been, places he's been. We didn't feel anything, and we don't care anything about going back. That's just the way it is. Why? I want to go somewhere where I felt the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not so much interested in going to New York City, Brother James. I want to go where the house of the Lord is, where the saints of God assemble. I'd rather be invited to go into the house of the Lord than to be invited to the White House.
Amen.
I don't have anything against the White House. I've never seen it. I'd kind of like to see it one time, but I'm not going to do it. It's just too much trouble. The idea of traveling that far to see a building, Doesn't float my boat, really. But now, I don't mind traveling to see you if the Lord's here. I want to go into the house of the Lord. That's what makes my heart glad. When I can come here and hear certain things. David in the 89th Psalm said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." There is a certain sound. Now, I don't like to hear a trumpet blow off key. My grandson plays the trumpet a little bit. I don't want to be around when he's practicing. If you get the music down pat and learn the piece and get it where he can play it, I'll go listen to the performance in the concert hall. But excuse me when it's just practice time. I like to hear a certain sound. I like to hear a harmonious sound. I like to hear the gospel trumpet sound with praise to my Heavenly Father, acknowledging that I'm nothing, that I'm unfit, that I'm unclean. That's part of that certain sound, that He is my all in all, and that we have all of us receive of His fullness, grace for grace. That's the message that warms my heart. That's that certain sound that is sounded on the trumpet in God's house. It's a message of grace and mercy flowing to poor, undeserving sinners from a God who is rich in mercy. Blessed is the people that hear that sound. And then notice the next part of that. Brother James now is over in Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. I tell you, that's not a tempting cause. That's not a, why don't you come on? We'd be glad to see you. You know, that's a moving cause. That's an authoritative cause.
Amen.
That's a take hold of you and pick you up and set you down over here.
Amen.
There's a young man in our community who tells folks every once in a while about a time that I drew him. He was a very arrogant, intelligent, good boy, but just went through a little spell in his teenage years when he was very arrogant. One morning I walked around the corner, and he was standing in the boys' restroom of the high school there, refusing to come out when one of the female teachers was telling him to come out so she could talk to him. And I just walked over to him, picked him up by the collar, and set him out in the hall. And I said, "Son, you get out here where she can tell you whatever it is she wants you to hear." Now, he's been high school principal at home for several years himself now. And he tells that story once in a while about an influential moment in his life. I drew him, you understand. I didn't just encourage him to come. I didn't ask him to come. I picked him up and set him down where I wanted him to be.
Woo!
I'd get you fired these days, but it worked in mine.
Yeah.
All right. God didn't bring you to life by encouraging you to come to life. God didn't go out in the cemetery and plead and beg and encourage the dead to come to him. What did he do? He picked him up and set him outside. Lazarus, how'd God get him out of the grave? He picked him up and brought him out. I believe he translated him. And I tell you, he translated us into his kingdom. That's the only way we ever would have been able to get here. But now, once he's done that, once he's given us life, he urges us by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that great comforter, to come unto him in service.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for that leadership.
Yes, Lord.
I am, because it has led me to the house of my master's brethren. I've been able to come in and sit down at a table that the Lord has prepared for us in this world where we have so many enemies, and delight myself in a feast of fat things in God's house. And I rejoice to do it. I tell you, if I find a place where there's plenty of food on the table, And it has a certain flavor. I'm out to go back and refresh myself again and again. I love to come unto the house of God and hear the gospel preached and hear my Lord praised. It stirs me up and it helps me and it comforts me. It certainly does. Blessed is the man. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly place. I don't believe that's talking about the church. That's talking about heaven itself. I tell you, this transaction was made between God the Father and God the Son before this church was established, before the foundation of the earth was laid. God gave us these blessings in Christ. But it's up to us to go to Christ and get many of them out. Not all of them now, you understand. Life itself, it came to us without our effort. Redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, we didn't have to do anything to get that one. Well, we didn't have to approach unto Christ to have that. We have to approach unto him to have the experience of it. Amen. While we live here in this world. Now, the psalmist David said, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk. There's something about the joyful sound that'll move us.
Amen.
It'll move us. It'll constrain us. Yeah. Where's Brother Mark?
Yeah.
Try to talk about cattle last night. You need to just stick this. You just need to stick to law enforcement. I never have loved a cow into the squeeze chute. You know what a hot shot is?
Yeah.
Brother Jeb does. He'll explain it to you. The Lord constrains us. That's not restraint. That is to move, to encourage, to motivate, to give a reason to go. He's in the love of Christ constraineth us because we thus judge. Did you know God has multiplied many millions of children in this world who've never made this judgment?
Amen.
They judge that if they have life, they have to go get it. They judge that if they don't do certain things, they'll die in their sin. But people who have heard the joyful sound judge that if the blood of Christ has been shed for us, our sins are forgiven, we have a home in heaven, and we want to serve the Lord who gave it to us while we live in this low ground of sin and sorrow. That's a different judgment. So the love of Christ constraineth us because of what we know about Jesus. Because we thus judge. Now, if you don't know that, if you don't know that joyful sound, if you don't understand something of what Jesus has done for you, you're going to be moved by fear. I don't like running scared. I've been scared a few times in my life. I don't like it. When I was about 13, 14 years old, go to basketball games at night on the school bus, and they'd let me off over at the highway, and I'd walk home. Half a mile, wasn't a long walk. But back then, the trees on either side of Checker Valley Road grew up and formed an arch over the road. Was just like a tunnel down through the trees. When you're a kid of a boy walking home late at night, there's sounds out there that'll put a quickening in your step, I promise you. It'll move you right along.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that. But I'd rather come home being drawn by the smell of bread baking, by the smell of good things. By remembering that there at home, there's a dry place, there's a warm bed, there's a good meal on the table. That'll cause me to come home with a feeling of joy.
Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance.
Amen.
I never did much like to get home when I knew daddy's going to be upset when I got to. But now if I thought daddy was going to be pretty well pleased, I was happy to get home. I tell you, if we walk in such a way that we feel like the Lord's going to be pleased, that he's going to receive us with open arms, that he's going to take us into his embrace when we get there, it makes the trip sweet.
Yes.
As we walk home.
Sure it does, brother.
I was glad, David said, when they said unto me, let us. He must have been following the Lord a little bit, don't you think? I believe David had been praying for Zion. And in that same 122nd Psalm, he said that he prays for her. That's not all. He said he prayed for the inhabitants. He termed them my companions. Who are your companions? Who are your companions? Who you spend most of your time with? Is it the household of faith? Or is it those in this world who have no understanding of the things of God? David's been living with God's people. He's talking about praying for Zion for the sake of his companions. Now I don't want to turn and read that, but that's the next to the last verse, I think, of Psalm 122. For my companions' sake, I would pray for her, for her peace and prosperity. For her, Zion's peace and prosperity. You know, Reveille and Bethel have a kind of an unusual connection. We got some members that visit here a lot. Because Papa's here. And so they come see him and Sister Sharon and they come to church. And when they come back, I ask them, how's Brother Sonny and Sister Sharon? And how's the church? I'm interested in knowing. Why do I care? You all are over 500 miles from me. I don't suppose it would damage Reveille Church if you all just met here next week and voted never to meet again. But there are folks at Bethel I love. I've walked with them in the house of God. So I would pray for Bethel Church for the sake of my brethren, my companions who are here. But then David turns it around and he said, I pray for them for Zion's sake. Now, how about that?
Wow.
Pray for the church, for the sake of the members of the church. Pray for the members of the church, for the sake of the church.
Amen.
It kind of ties it all together. Kind of makes it a neat little package, does it not?
Amen.
How's the church going to fare without the members faring well? Not going to fare very well. How are the members going to fare if the church doesn't fare very well? I tell you, it takes a blessing of God on the house. It takes a blessing of God on the church for the members to do well. It takes a blessing of God on the members for the church to do well.
Amen.
I like to have some encouragement that the church will go on a while. As my dad got up in his latter years, very often he would pray in his public prayer that the church might go on long after we leave, after we're gone. There's something in us that longs to know, longs to believe that the church will be with us here in the world when we're not any longer actually a part of it. But I tell you, while I'm in it, I want to walk in the light of the countenance of God. I want to be able to walk where I see God smiling as I travel. God doesn't always smile on me. Sometimes God frowns. Sometimes God has a look of disappointment and hurt when I think how God must feel. Sometimes I know I brought shame and reproach on the name of my Heavenly Father. And I hurt because I know I've hurt Him.
Lord, help.
I don't like embarrassing my natural parents. I don't like embarrassing my wife. My mother, bless her heart, she's about quit it, but for years she followed me around apologizing to folks because she thought I might have hurt their feelings. I'm trying to explain why I said what I said, you know. I wished a few times she'd just leave it where it was. But, you know, Mama didn't want me to hurt anybody's feelings, so she'd apologize for me, follow around behind me doing that. I'd rather that she feel like maybe I've done a little good, done something that was pleasing to her. Yeah, I want my Lord to be pleased.
Amen.
I do. I won't walk where I can see His smiles of approval, the light of His countenance. I don't walk in the darkness of a frown. I want to walk in the light.
Amen.
These people that know this joyful sound, they can walk right there. I like that thought. Now then, over in Isaiah 66, the Lord talks about comfort. You know, Isaiah is a prophecy of judgment. As you read through that book over and over and over again, God pronounces judgment on the nation of Israel. But finally, in that last chapter, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? You ever think about God resting? We talk about there being a rest here for the people of God. The Lord talks about His house being a place of His rest. That's an interesting thought. I'll let some of the rest of you deal with it. Verse 10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. Blessed is the man that mourns. Blessed are they that mourn.
Yeah.
Why? They're going to be comforted.
Right. Yeah.
I hear people sometimes mourning for Zion.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Lord's clean gone from us. Church drying up. Just a little while and we're going to all be gone. We're going to have to add some things from the world or it's going to, I tell you, brethren. You're mourning over Zion, just start rejoicing with her.
Amen.
Just come on in. Look around one more time. If you didn't see the rejoicing last time, look again. God's children are still rejoicing in Zion.
Amen.
And I'm convinced that as long as the earth stands, there are going to be folks meeting like we met this morning. Rejoicing, rejoicing in Zion. What are they rejoicing in? Natural prosperity? No. Rejoicing in political conquest? No. What are they rejoicing in? The blessings of a merciful God.
Amen.
There's real rejoicing. For thus saith the Lord. I skipped that 11th verse. I don't always skip it, Brother Mark, but I get a lot of flack for trying to talk about it, so I'm just skipping it. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. I will extend peace to her like a river. That's not a raging river, is it? That's a peaceful river. Must be sort of still water. What David said, he leadeth me beside the still waters. God says of Zion, I will extend peace to her like a river. Peace here has substance. That's not just the absence of confusion. Peace runs deeper than just the absence of confusion. Peace is a positive, real, I don't want to say material, but it's a real thing. It is a feeling that God extends to us. And he can do that in the midst of tribulation. And that peace will overcome that tribulation. I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck. Ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Now, some of us are getting along in years a little bit, and we have no longer the opportunity to go back and speak with our natural mother. I'm blessed of the Lord. My mother's still alive and well, living at home. And when I'm home, I see her every day. But there are others who have been mothers to me who are gone. But some of the most precious experiences of my life have been when my mother comforted me. I'll never forget a cold, cold morning in 1961. I was 10 years old, in case you're wondering. I'm 70. My dad had been put in the hospital the day before. We had dairy cattle. My mother and I suddenly were saddled with the tremendous responsibility of milking, feeding, all the things that had to be done with that herd of dairy cattle. And it had overwhelmed me. As a 10-year-old boy, I knew enough about it. I understood the job is too big for us. And it appeared my dad wasn't going to be able to help for maybe a few months. And I didn't know how much a man could do on crutches and in a cast. he got back to work pretty quick. But mother woke me up about 4:30 in the morning, so we could go get started, so I would be able to get the work done and get on the school bus to go to school. Now, she could have said, son, get up, we got to go. But she came in and she said, son, we need to get up. I've got you some cocoa made. I don't know what time she got up, but my God never sleeps. And every time that I've ever rolled and tumbled in my bed and couldn't sleep because of the cares of life, God's been awake.
Yes, sir.
On his throne.
Yes, sir.
And God never made me a cup of cocoa. But he's comforted me like my mother did that morning. And I went in the kitchen with tears streaming down my face, overwhelmed with the situation we were in. Mama sat down beside the old stove, picked me up out of sight. You know, I was 10 years old. I was pretty tall. She picked me up and set me on her knee and said, "Son, it'll be okay. It's going to be tough, but we can do it. It'll be okay." It wasn't nearly as cold outside after Mother told me that. The job wasn't nearly as big in my little mind. God said, "I will comfort you as a mother comforteth her child." Now, I've been noticing a couple of little boys up here. One of them's asleep on Brother Seth's knee over here. He has no blood relation to Brother Seth, I don't think, but he calls him Papa Seth. And he sat there on Brother Seth's knee last night and this morning, just as comfortable as he can be. There's another one over here. He's awake, so I won't. But you get the picture. Children have real fears. And there's no comfort like that of a mother. One who has been their stay and their strength. Special. But God said, "I will comfort her as a mother." I tell you, if God would extend peace to us, it would be like he has us on his knee, his arms around us, saying it's going to be okay. I tell you, it is going to be okay. Brethren, can I tell you, the world has gone downhill beyond anything I ever imagined. It's okay. The world needs to be different. But God's on his throne.
Amen.
And God still loves Zion.
Yes.
And we can still come here and forget the world. And the world doesn't bother us while we're here. That's a blessing.
Amen, brother.
That the world will leave us alone for 3 days. Leave us alone. Let us do as we want to do. Praise our God. Sing as loud as we want to sing. Preach as long as we want to preach. Pray. Calling on the name of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's just okay. And there's comfort in this house because God is God.
Amen.
I thank
Brother David Montgomery has an interesting way of saying amen sometimes. He says, "Wow." You're going to get upset with me, but you'll just have to get upset. We're going to forego the handshake with the number of folks and so forth. It was marginal last night. We got through it. But I told you that probably we would not have a handshake today because of the number of folks, and that's the way we chose to do. If it's wrong, then blame me.
That wasn't a wow.